tonight, since we're learning about Hilchos Shabbos, this is a good story. You'll understand it. There was a man who came to a big tzaddik, and the name of the tzaddik was Reb Michale Zlotchever, Reb Michale of Zlotchev. Now, some people know Reb Michale Zlotchever as a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. This happened before he became a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. In fact, he was not at all a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov before he became a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov, as you're going to see. He had a different way. Well, this man came crying to Reb Michale. Reb Michale himself was, you know, a big tzaddik at that time. And this man came to Reb Michale, and he was crying like a baby. And he said, I did something on Shabbos that I was not allowed to. I did a malacha on Shabbos. And the man was very, very upset at himself for doing a malacha on Shabbos. He did work on Shabbos. He was mechallel Shabbos. Now the story does not say if he did it by accident or chas v'shalom on purpose or what the case was, but this man had done something serious. The story says it was serious. I mean, anything against Shabbos is serious, but it says this was very serious he did against Shabbos. But the man was very tzebrochen. He was broken up and he was crying. And he says, Reb Michale, I did something terrible on Shabbos and I want to do tshuva. And he's crying and he's upset. He's crying tears. And he looks up at Reb Michale. Reb Michale says, you were mechallel Shabbos. You know how serious this is? It's like going against the whole Torah at one time, going against Hashem. Do you know how serious it is? And he says, if you do it by accident, well, you have to bring according to the base of Mikdash, but we don't have now the base of Mikdash. And if you do it on purpose, do you know what the punishment is to do on purpose against Shabbos? If nobody saw you do it on Hashem, Hashem will get you. And if people warned you and they said you're not allowed to do it, you have to get thrown off of a tower and they throw stones on you until you get killed. Skila! Oh, it's so serious. And he starts screaming at the Yid and the Yid is crying even more. And Reb Michale says, you went against the Shabbos. And he says, you have to do a big tshuva. And the man says, I'll do anything. I feel terrible. And Reb Michale says, you have to fast. You should not eat. And at the end of the day, after you fasted, you should not have good, tasty food. You should eat black bread and drink water. Not even hot water, cold water. Oh, okay, I'll fast. Oh, I'll fast. And after the fast, I'll have water and bread. Yeah, but not just one day. You have to fast a lot of days. Oh, okay, I'll fast a lot of days. And Reb Michale says, and then you're going to go to sleep. You think you're going to sleep on a bed? A person that went against Shabbos, he's going to sleep on a bed? Sleep on the floor. Okay, I'll sleep on the floor. I'll sleep on the floor. And you think you're going to have a blanket on the floor? No blankets. Sleep on the floor without blankets. Okay. And the man is crying and screaming. And Reb Michale says, and you think that's enough? You have to say Tillim. Oh, I'll say Tillim. You think you're going to say Tillim in your house where it's warm? Go out in the snow and say Tillim. Say Tillim in the snow. I'm going to say Tillim in the snow. And the man is crying and he's screaming. And then Reb Michale tells us other things to do, that he has to do things that hurt and things that make him cold and things that make him uncomfortable. And the man is crying and screaming. And he goes to shul and he's still crying and screaming. And just that day, somebody was traveling through and stopped in that shul. And it happened to be the Baal Shem Tov. Was traveling through the town. Must have been Zlotchev, because Reb Michale Zlotchever was from Zlotchev. And the Baal Shem Tov is passing through the town, and he sees this kid crying and screaming in the shul like a baby. And the Baal Shem Tov goes over to him, what's wrong? How come you're crying and screaming like a baby in the shul? And the man says, against the Shabbos. I was mechallel Shabbos, and I feel so terrible, and I have to do tshuva. Okay, well, you have to do tshuva, but you know, Hashem accepts tshuva.
Are you doing tshuva? Of course I'm doing tshuva, but it's not enough that I cry. I have to say time in the snow, and I have to fast, and I'm going to eat only black bread and drink water and sleep on the floor, and I'm not going to have any blankets, I'm going to do all kinds of other things.
The Baal Shem Tov says, who told you to do all these things?
Yad Michla, it's not tshuva, Yad Michla.
Oh yeah, Yad Michla, is not tshuva told you to do these things? So many things you have to do. Besides crying, and besides feeling bad, I have to do all these things, yeah. And the Baal Shem Tov says, with all due respect to Reb Michla of Zlotchev, I don't think his way is necessarily the way that is for you. There's a different way that really would be better for you than all of these things that hurt, and things that are uncomfortable, and these painful things, and these things that, you know, are so difficult to do. Because after all, you are feeling bad about what you did, aren't you? Oh, I feel terrible! And the Baal Shem Tov says, well, I think there's something else that you should do, and that would be your tshuva. And the man says, I'll do anything, and just tell me what I should do! And the Baal Shem Tov says, I'll tell you what you should do. But listen very carefully, and do exactly what I say, and I guarantee that Hashem will understand and accept your tshuva and will forgive you.
Oh, I'll do anything for Hashem to forgive me. I'm going to use the Shabbos. What should I do?
And the Baal Shem Tov says, okay, do not do any of these things that Reb Michla told you. With all due respect to Reb Michla, there's something else. This is what you should do. Go home, get some money, buy a box of candles, bring the candles to the shul, and they should use your candles for the light in the shul. If they need the light to put candles up in the shul, they didn't have electric lights, they put candles in the shul for people to daven near candles, or by the Ahmed with the Chazan Davins, maybe they need candles over there. Wherever they need candles in the shul, you will give a box of candles for the shul. For Shabbos, they used to burn a lot of extra candles for Friday night, burn candles in the shul. And that's what you should do. Bring a box of candles for the shul. The man says, what? But what else? What about fasting? What about sleeping on the floor? What about going and saying Tehillim in the snow? The Baal Shem Tov says, no. Just bring the box of candles, it'll be okay. And the Baal Shem Tov says to the man, I have to go now, I'm traveling. I'll be back in a few weeks, I'm sure everything will be okay. And he says goodbye to the man. The man goes home and he gets some money. And he gets a box of candles. And he brings the candles to the shul. It happened to be Erev Shabbos, and he brought the candles to the shul to be used for Shabbos. And right before Shabbos, the man lights the candles, and the candles are burning nicely in the shul, and people are starting to come in to the shul for Shabbos, and now it was already Shabbos. All of a sudden, as a few people come into the shul, a gigantic wind blows. A big wind blows. And it's very strange for such a wind to blow, because usually, even if a wind did blow, not that much wind came into the shul, but this wind seemed to blow right through the door into the whole shul, and it blew out every candle. Every single candle got blown out, and it was dark in the shul. Except for the moonlight coming in. And the man starts to cry, oh no, all of my beautiful candles blew out. That's very strange. Why did it happen that such a wind came and blew out all my candles? It must be that Hashem doesn't like my tshuva. He doesn't like my candles. Otherwise, why would he make them all blow out? And the man starts to cry, and people say, don't cry on Shabbos, it's Shabbos. But he felt very bad. Well, he made up his mind that for the next Shabbos he would make sure to also bring candles. And the next Shabbos he brought also candles. And he lit the candles and right before Shabbos lit the candles, and it became Shabbos. And people start coming to shul, and the man was looking around, and his beautiful candles burning, and he says, ah, Baruch Hashem, this time there's no wind blowing, my candles are burning very nicely. All of a sudden, a doggy is outside. Well, a lot of times doggies were outside. What, you think, you know, in the old country, there's all kinds of animals in the street. Well, all of a sudden, this doggy comes into the shul. Hey, get the doggy out of the shul. Doggies don't come into the shul. Well, this doggy ran right into the shul. And all of a sudden, this doggy starts eating up the candles. Because the candles in those days were made out of stuff that a doggy would like to eat. And the doggy runs around and he's eating up all the candles. Hey, stop! It's Shabbos! Well, doggies don't care. They like the candles. They're eating. The doggy eats all the candles up. And it's dark in the shul. And the man starts to cry. Huh, why all of a sudden? It never happened before. A doggy came into the shul and he starts eating up my candles. Oh, that's terrible. It must mean Hashem is upset with me with my candles. It's not enough chew there. I should do that like Reb Nicholas Lutzer said. I should fast. I should sleep on the floor. I should say Tehillim in the snow. I shouldn't do like the Baal Shem Tov. Hashem is upset with that. Well, no, he said, look, the Baal Shem Tov is a big tzaddik. He told me to bring candles. I'll try one more time. The next day of Shabbos, he brings a box of candles to the shul. And he lights the candles, and the candles start burning. And there's no wind, and there's no doggy, but a strange thing. Did you ever see sometimes candles burn down real fast, and they just make a big mess, and they go out? Did you ever see that? You ever saw a candle like burn up real fast, and all of a sudden it makes just like a big puddle of wax, and it goes out? Like a candle plotzes. All the candles burned down so fast, they make a big puddle of wax, and they went out, even before they started davening, l'chunimanana, they all went out. Something is wrong with every single candle? Maybe one candle is going to plots like that. Every single candle burns out like that? Something is strange going on. It must mean that my tshuva is no good. And Hashem is upset with me, and he starts to cry, and he says, Shabbos, don't cry! Well, he held himself back, until the next day, he came to the shul and he was crying. Well, when he walks into the shul that day, the Baal Shem Tov, he was traveling back from wherever he was, and he sees the same man that he saw a little while ago, a couple weeks ago, crying in the shul. He's crying again. And he says, why are you crying? Aren't you the man that I said you should bring a box of candles to the shul and that's your tshuva? How come you're still crying? He says, Hashem doesn't like my candles. Every time something happens, a wind, a doggy, they burn down, the candles never work. It must be something is wrong. Malkin Allah, the Baal Shem Tov hears what the man says. And the Baal Shem Tov, well, maybe it's smartness, maybe it's Ruach HaKodesh, maybe it's both. He figured out it wasn't because Hashem is upset with him. It must mean Reb Michala of Zlotchev does not agree with bringing the candles as enough to do tshuva. Because Reb Michala of Zlotchev told him to do other stuff. It must mean that Reb Michala of Zlotchev is upset with this man, and he's a tzaddik. Well, if a tzaddik is upset, well, things could happen like that. And because Reb Michala of Zlotchev was upset with what the man was doing, that he wasn't doing what Reb Michala said, he was doing the candles, Reb Michala was upset, and therefore every time the candles, something strange would go on. The Baal Shem Tov knew this. You understand? Yeah. Understand? Who understands? He wiggled his finger up in the air. Let's see if anybody's listening over here. The girls understand? Tati understands what's going on? All right, Tati understands what's going on. There's a new story, I never told it before. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't exactly follow what's going on. All right, here we go. And the Baal Shem Tov says, don't worry. I have a feeling that next week your candles will work just fine. And he says to the man, I would like you to give this letter to Reb Michala of Zlotchev. It's very important. Please give it to him as soon as possible. And the Baal Shem Tov writes a letter, and he gives it to the man, and the man runs to Reb Michala of Zlotchev, and he gives him the letter, And Reb Michale opens a letter, and he knows it's from the Baal Shem Tov, and it says, "Dear Reb Michale, I, the Baal Shem Tov, would like to invite you to come to me for Shabbos as my guest." Ooh, Reb Michale says, the Baal Shem Tov is inviting me to come to Shabbos to spend by the Baal Shem Tov. Ooh. The Baal Shem Tov is a big tzaddik. Now, Reb Michale is a big tzaddik, but, you know, the Baal Shem Tov, you know, is a big tzaddik. Oh, I would like to go to the Baal Shem Tov for a Shabbos. He lives far away. It takes quite a while to travel there. And the Baal Shem Tov left already, went home. So, Reb Michale Zlotchev tells his servant, this coming Wednesday, we are going to go and get all the stuff ready. I'm going to leave on Wednesday to travel to the Baal Shem Tov to get there for Shabbos, to get there on Erev Shabbos. Now, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. How many days is that? Well, it's really three, but it's really less, because Michal Zlotchever doesn't want to travel on Erev Shabbos. He wants to get there either Thursday night or early Erev Shabbos, so let's say 2.5 days. So what Michal Zlotchev says to his servant and his driver, we're going to leave early to make sure we get plenty of time, because I don't like to travel on Erev Shabbos if I don't have to. Especially not past Chatzos, midday, like afternoon, in the middle of the day. Remember the story of the Alter Rebbe going to jail? When he said, I don't travel after 12 o'clock on Erev Shabbos. Tzadikim did not like to travel after 12 o'clock on Erev Shabbos. So, he says, oh, there's going to be plenty of time to travel to the Baal Shem Tov in 2 days or 2.5 days. Well, they get the stuff together, and his Shabbos clothes, and his talis and tefillin, and whatever they need for the way. And they get in the wagon, and they start to go in the wagon, and all of a sudden, a wheel breaks. Well, it happens, a wheel breaks. So the driver gets out and fixes the wheel. It takes a couple hours. Okay, the Michala's learning in the wagon. And they put the wheel on, and they start to go towards the Baal Shem Tov, and it's Wednesday afternoon, and the other wheel breaks. Very strange. Two wheels break in one trip? Well, the wagon driver fixes the other wheel. Okay, they're going. And all of a sudden, the weather starts to get very cloudy. It was a beautiful day when we started out. All of a sudden, it gets so cloudy, looks like a big storm. Well, there became a big storm, and it started to rain. Okay, well, we can go in the rain. Well, the roads in those days were dirt. What happens when there's a lot of rain and a lot of dirt? What does it turn into? A lot of mud. Well, the wagon starts getting very slow in the mud. And it's very difficult to go. And it's already Wednesday night, and you have to pull off the road, sleep somewhere. And it's Thursday, and it's still raining, and it's still muddy. And they can hardly see where they're going, it's raining so hard. And all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, where are we? We took a wrong turn. They couldn't see the road. So they're going in the mud, they took a wrong turn. Oh, now we have to turn back and get back to the road. Oh boy, it's wasting a lot of time. It's already Thursday night. We can't travel at night. They have to pull off the road and sleep somewhere else. It's now, what day is it now? Erev Shabbos. And they're still far away from the Baal Shem Tov. And they're still going in rain and mud. And they're going and they're getting lost. What's going on over here? We keep getting lost. We keep taking the wrong places, the wrong roads. Another time the wheel broke again. They have to fix the wheel. Oh, Gavald, it's after 12 o'clock. What are we going to do? There's no place to spend Shabbos over here. They're nowhere. We have to get to the Baal Shem Tov. And they're traveling and they're traveling and everything is going wrong. They run out of gas. Did they run out of gas? Did they really run out of gas? Of course not. But everything is going wrong. Until finally, it was cloudy and it was raining and it was late. Did they have watches with batteries in them that tell them exactly what time it is? How do you know when Shabbos is? If you don't have a clock, you don't have a watch. Well, how do you know when Shabbos is? I look on the calendar on the wall and it says what time is Shabbos. Well, okay, but how do you know what time it is? If you know what time Shabbos is, how do you know what time it is? What do? You look to see if the sun went down, right? When is Shabbos? You have to, after the sun went down or even before the sun goes down? 18 minutes before the sun goes down. Well, what if you see the sun is going down? Well, you could see when Shabbos is coming. What if you can't see the sun? What if it's so cloudy and rainy you can't see the sun? And you don't have a clock, you don't have a watch, and it's dark outside. What does it look like?
Nothing.
Nothing? All of a sudden the story disappeared. There's nothing here anymore. If you cannot see the sun, and you don't have a watch, you don't have a clock, and it's cloudy and dark, can you really tell when it's going to be Shabbos? No, you're all mixed up. And Reb Michaler Zlotchev was getting very nervous because it was so dark already, because of the rain and the storm and the clouds, and you couldn't see the sun, and he didn't know what time it was. All he knew was he has to get the Baal Shem Tov before Shabbos. Maybe Chas v'Shalom, it's already Shabbos, they're still traveling, he doesn't even know. Finally, they get to the house of the Baal Shem Tov, and they're running in with the stuff through the rain, through the mud, and it's dark outside, and then Nicholas says, "Where is it all? I don't know what job is in that." And he comes into the Baal Shem Tov's house, and the Baal Shem Tov is standing there with Shabbos clothes. The candles are lit. He's holding a becher of wine, and he's saying, "Yoy Mashishi, Vayichol Hashem Ayin Vayetz." And Reb Michaler Zlotchever sees the Baal Shem Tov is making kiddush, and he faints, and he falls on the floor. Bang. And Kimalach, why did he faint? Because he was so upset that he must have Chas v'Shalom been Machal Shabbos, traveling on Shabbos and carrying Shabbos. Carrying on Shabbos, he fainted on the floor, and he plopped on the floor. Bang. And all of a sudden, he wakes up, and he sees the Baal Shem Tov is smiling. Well, what are you smiling? Oh, I did a terrible Aveda. I was Machal Shabbos. Oh, you know, you're terrible. And the Baal Shem Tov says, you were not Machal Shabbos. It wasn't Shabbos yet. You made it on time right before Lichtsin, right before Shabbos.
But you're making Kiddush already.
And the Baal Shem Tov says, I was Makabel Shabbos early. I took upon myself Shabbos early. And if you, some people take Shabbos earlier than just Lichtsin. And he was allowed to even make Kiddush early. So for the Baal Shem Tov, it was already Shabbos. But for Reb Michaler, it was not yet Shabbos. He still had a few minutes. He made it on time. And Reb Michaler says,
we left on Wednesday. We had so many things happen. We went through wrong turns, and the wheel broke, and the wheel broke, and the wheel broke, and man, and there.
And we got here so late, I want to get early. And the Baal Shem Tov is smiling and says, Reb Michaler, I see that you feel very, very upset, even at the thought that you might have been Michal Shabbos, right?
Oh yes, it's terrible, it's terrible.
And the Baal Shem Tov says, Michal, what is the main thing of tshuva? The main thing of tshuva is how you feel. You feel bad if you did anything wrong against Hashem. And you see that you really feel very bad that you might have done something wrong against Hashem, right? Isn't that the main thing of tshuva? How you feel inside? But Nachman says, yes, yes, I feel terrible. I might have done something wrong against Hashem. And now the Baal Shem Tov says, do you remember the man who was crying to you that he did something wrong on Shabbos? And you told him to fast. And you told him to sleep on the floor. And you told him to say till him in the snow. You remember that? And when I told him to bring a box of candles, Reb Michaler says, oh yeah, I remember. I was upset about those candles. I didn't think it was enough. And the Baal Shem Tov says, yes, I saw that you didn't think it was good enough because all kinds of strange things happen with those candles. But now do you see what was going on by that man? Did he really need to fast and sleep on the floor and say till him in the snow? Or was he already upset at himself that he went against Hashem? Didn't he already do the main part of tshuva? He felt very bad about what he did, right? Yeah, that's right, that's right. He felt bad what he did. So all he had to do left was just do something to show Hashem that he wants to make up So wasn't it enough that he brings just a box of candles? Because he already had the main part of tshuva. He felt bad for what he did, right? Why did he have to fast? And why did he have to sleep on the floor? And why did he have to go and say, tell him to snow? Hashem already saw that he felt bad. Why does he have to do those things? Isn't it enough that he brings a box of candles? And of course, with Nicholas Law, that this whole thing happened from Hashem in order to teach him a lesson that sometimes, you know, I mean, you have to look at the inside of the person and not, you know, sometimes be so strict if the person is already doing tshuva. Of course, later on, I don't know if it's because of this mice or other things, Reb Michala became a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. And that's the story of covering the birthday party. A very interesting story. A brand new story. We get quiet, we hear the story. We don't get quiet, we don't hear the story. All you have to do is get quiet. Well, one way to get quiet is by putting French fries and tuna fishy and pickles and oranges in your mouth, not necessarily all at the same time. And of course, do not drink the milk together with the fishy. Another way to get quiet is to stop talking. Another way to get quiet is to be quiet. And another way to get quiet is don't make noise. And some boys maybe do all these things at one time. They're eating, they're quiet, they're not making noise, they're listening. Well, all these ways are ways to get quiet. The main thing is to get quiet. Okay. Here is a very interesting story about the Mesha Leib of Sasev that we just had the story before about him. Now we go all the way till the end of the summer. Mama Mastin, the summer is just beginning. We don't want to miss out on all the fun things. You're not going to miss out on all the fun things. The story goes to the end of the summer when Rosh Hashanah is coming and it's Elul and it's a very serious month of tshuva and people wake up early in the morning to go to shul to say extra davening and tehillim and of course slichos. This is when the story takes place. Now, Kenalach, it's very interesting over here in this story that this great tzaddik, Rav Moshe Leib of Sasev, as we heard stories about him, what a heilig tzaddik he was, do you know that he had enemies? Can you imagine? People that made trouble for him? Do you imagine that he had yidden that made him trouble, this heilig tzaddik? Misnagdim that were against him in his own town? This is what the story said. Was I surprised? Akinolach, most of the Yidden woke up early in the morning and they came to the early minyan. Reb Moshe Leib, the great tzaddik, was not at the early minyan. He came later to the later minyan. Now, the Misnagdim, the troublemakers, that for whatever reason, I have no idea, would Chas V'Shalom talk against Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev, they came to the early minyan, and they started teasing, and they started saying not nice things. And they went over to the Chassidim of Reb Moshe Leib, and they said, look, your Rebbe is not by the minyan, he sleeps late. He can't wake up on time. He doesn't get up for the early minyan. What kind of a Rebbe is this? What kind of a tzaddik is this? He sleeps late and he goes to the later minyan? And they would tease and make fun.
And the Hasidim of the Moshe Basasov did not like this teasing. And one of them said to the Misnagdim, the reason our Rebbe doesn't come to the early minyan is because he is in the Himmel. He's in the Shemayim. He's busy in the Shemayim. And when he comes from the Shemayim back down into the world, he goes to the later minyan. And of course, the Misnagdim laughed and teased and thought it was a big joke. Yeah, your Rebbe's in the Shemayim. Maybe he's sleeping. That's all he's doing. They're making fun.